What we're talking about is late night and early morning low clouds. What a chance of fall. Chance of showers into the afternoon. With variable high cloudiness and gusty winds. Gusty winds at times around the corner of Sunset and Alvarado. Yeah, I know, things are tough all over. When the thunderstorms start increasing over the southeast and south central portions of my apartment, I get upset. And a line of thunderstorms was developing in the early morning hours ahead of a slow-moving cold front. Cold blood. With tornado watches issued shortly before noon Sunday for the areas including western region of my mental health and the northern portion of my ability to deal rationally with my disconcerted, precarious emotional situation. Cold out there. Colder than a ticket taker's smile at the Ivor Theater on Saturday night. Flash flood watches cover the southern portion of my disposition. Yeah. There was no severe weather well into the afternoon, except for kind of a lone gust wind in the bedroom.
And ladies and gentlemen, welcome, welcome, welcome to the French Connection. Great to be here with you today. It is a wonderful day to be alive, and you know, we're going to have a great show today. It's the 22nd day of November. Moving right into Thanksgiving real soon, ladies and gentlemen. It's not the same to be away from America for Thanksgiving for an expat like me. And interestingly enough, I have family that were on the Mayflower, oddly enough. And I grew up about 15, 20 miles away from the Plymouth plantation. So it's really something that's important to me. But, you know, it's even difficult to get big turkeys over here. The size of their turkeys are about chicken size as far as anyway. But those are small potato problems. We got bigger problems in the world, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to talk about some of them today. You know, I can't help but wonder what's coming for us. I look around on the horizon here, and I'm wondering also whether these people are infighting enough to keep maybe another disaster from exploding onto our headlines and our front pages. I'm hoping that there's enough fighting going on within the Bush administration that they you know, maybe they can't get anybody to do their dirty work for them, which is a big hope. You know, maybe that's not the way things really are. But, hey, you know, if hope dies, then so do we. So, I mean, I'd like to see, you know, everybody have a safe Thanksgiving, Christmas period. And, you know, I don't know. The economy is really, really taking a nosedive. We've got all of those unemployment figures coming out and Adelphi going down and all the layoffs at the General Motors and Ford's got some coming up and so do a lot of other companies, 5,000 I think at Intel. It's the downturn is here, ladies and gentlemen. Whether or not the government has the courage or the capacity to be truthful, I'm going to be truthful with you. You get prepared for some very, very, very difficult economic times. Of course, housing bubble has broken, and that's one of the biggest problems that we're all facing is this housing bubble. Many people have used their appreciation from their homes as ways of, you know, considering their bottom line having grown for the year. Simple truth of the matter is that those are false ways of growing your wealth. We don't manufacture anything anymore, ladies and gentlemen. We have shipped all of our manufacturing and our technology to other nations, and basically now we just sit on our big bottoms on in offices across America doing virtually nothing. And there's a day of reckoning. It has to come. I mean, economists across the board are all convinced it's inevitable. They just don't know the date, nor do I, and nor do I really want to be picking a date for it because I simply might be wrong. One of the things I do want to recommend, and I'm going to do an interview hopefully on Friday with the owner of Genesis, Ted Anderson, the purchasing of gold. Gold today is up at $492. When I told you to buy it, the first major promotion that I did was $417. So you're about $75-$80 higher, and that's only in a few months, guys. Now, 6-8 months ago. Look, you really have to take a look at this, because this is one of the ways that you can shore up your savings account and things that you have in your family's heritage against this loss, because the stocks are not going to be going up, guys. They're going to be heading south, and as are many other asset classes. Gold is one of the places people run to in desperate times, and I think we're probably going to visit desperate times soon. So, you know, the rants I've been doing lately, geez, what can I tell you? I mean, you know, I'm just trying to tell on these bad guys so that you can stop wasting your time and maybe put more effort toward defeating these criminals. We know who they are. We know why they're doing it, and we know basically what their plan is. So, and oftentimes I can't understand why I can't get more people to sign on to the truth. But when you take a look at the aggregate of disinformation, it is pretty formidable. I mean, we can put our truth out there, but it gets blinded out or blurted out by all this other malarkey on the net. I mean, you know, Tom Flacco still gets more hits than I do on his website, and so more people are tuning into Tom Flacco's lies than they are to Daryl Bradford Smith's truth, and that's difficult for me to kind of wrap my brain around, because we really need those people. Those people are important to me and to all of us, because that's the critical mass that we're going to need to make a change. One of the things that I started to sign on to yesterday and I want to talk to you about, this next election cycle, do not vote for anyone who was in office before. The incumbent has to go. And I mean all 436 of our House of Representatives, all of them unelected. Every single one. Think about that. And one-third of the Senate out. Think of the tidal wave across America that would create. They've been lying on the mainstream news about Bush's 36% support. Ladies and gentlemen, I can't imagine this staggeringly stupid human being having 3% support. And probably those are people that had brain removal or something, or Dick Cheney and his family or something. Those, they voted for George. I can't imagine anyone with 1 ounce of mental strength ever backing this criminal moron. But I must tell you now, and I have said it before, I'm grateful for this potato head, because he has brought a lot of people out looking for the truth. I don't think anybody could have recruited so many people to the truth as old Georgie. And the longer he stays in his job, the more people are going to come to the truth. So I guess, you know, I have a vicarious wish that from the outside looking at it, it's really, you know, I'm torn, but I kind of wish that that George would stick in with his job for a little while longer and bring every last one of us together. Yeah, it could happen. I mean, stranger things have happened. The world is following right behind America. I think they're all playing off the American dance card, because I guess these governments have now all become aware of exactly where the world is heading. And of course, they're starting to crack down on the liberties of Britain and France and many other countries. So, stand by. We're going to fight the big fight today. We got Karen Kwiatkowski, Lieutenant Colonel, coming on, regular visitor to the French Connection, and also a wonderful patriot. Stick with us, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back with more. It's great to be with you. Daryl Bradford Smith, your host today. French Connection, live and direct from central France here. It is, we right now, ladies and gentlemen, we are working toward, you know, when you face challenge like this, and you're trying to get people to wrap their heads around an idea, such as something like getting rid of all the incumbents or taking to the streets or things of this nature, it all has to start with us, with one small group, and that's how all change in the world's history has always started. I mean, this is just the nature of change. Everything starts with one and moves out from there. All ideas from the beginning of time started with one person. Now, these ideas that are coming out of our small encampments fighting for the truth, we need to start looking at some of the best ones that we can find, some of the more cogent and the more powerful ones, and cohesing around them so that we have impact, so that we make a difference, so that we can start taking it to the bad guys. Because, look, this is not about debating the 9/11 incident. We know what happened there. It's not about debating a murder of 150,000 people in Iraq. We know what happened there. It's not about debating the criminality of the world government and where we're heading. We know the truth about these things. It's an action moment now. This is the time for action. And often people have discussed with me that, you know, off air and in private phone calls, I asked them, what is it going to take, do you think? And all of them have said that they probably thought an economic collapse would bring people out into the streets. Well, as I told you in the first segment, I think we're not very far from that. And all of the businesses in America are starting to unravel right now. And so maybe it's time to forward some of the better ideas that we have so that people can start laying the groundwork to make the changes we need. You know, there's going to be suffering involved in this mess. There's just no way around it. It's like we have this big party and all got drunk as skunks, and now it's going to be the day after, and everybody wakes up feeling rather sick. Well, the party's over, and I think America is going to wake up with a terrible hangover, and that hangover is going to be finding out that its government is not democratic and that its leaders are criminals, and that the religions that they've been following and then groups of religious people they've been following are equal in this criminality, and that Israel and Zionist interests have been stealing our liberties and usurping the world's freedoms. And these are the things that we need to wrap our heads around. Certainly not anything prejudiced. Certainly not anything xenophobic or racist. Those things need to stay out of our mindset. We don't need to be white supremacist crud and Nazi crud and all this other stuff. That's not what we are or who we are. We're righteous. We're honest. We want our freedoms back, the Constitution enforced. I'd like to see 90% of the laws passed in 1776 to be rescinded. I'm a libertarian. I think these laws are foolish, and I think if you injure somebody, that person should have an action against you in a civil proceeding. But having everything in your life legislated, that's tyranny, guys. You know, if somebody wants to go commit suicide, Jesus, I'll lend them my gun. I mean, that's the bottom line. I don't think we should tell people when they come onto this earth and when they leave it and how they live and what they do. I mean, those are things people should have the right to decide for themselves. And I am somebody who has almost an extreme form of liberty. I don't want people telling me what to do, but where does my liberty end? And someone else, my liberty, my freedoms, my rights end where I start infringing upon the rights or liberties of another person. It's a simple concept. Now, of course, there are gray areas when you're talking about moving about society, and we need to look at those gray areas and set ground rules for them, but certainly not draconian legislations around them. We certainly have to just look basically at how it is good human beings interact with each other. But herein lies another problem. Our goodness has leaked away. Our generosity, our kindness to neighbors, our self-sufficiency, all of these things have leaked away by design. We have a rebuilding to do. We have a moral compass to recalibrate. We have so many things to start looking to repair here. And of course, it's taking a look at yourself is never an easy job. I mean, think of the change you've had to make in your life that were painful. I mean, it's not an easy thing to change someone's outlook or the way they move forward in their lives. It's very hard to do. And yet, you know, the pain of change is always worth it in the end. You just have to know that. It makes you stronger as a, it's a character builder. And the character of our nation has become flabby and lazy and, everybody thinks that, you know, they can work 5 years and make $1 million and, you know, jump on Paris Hilton some point and, retire on some island in the South Pacific and that's the end of their working life. Nobody wants to put in a daily effort and because they think somehow that the destination is going to be the goal for them. See, the destination is never the goal. It's always the journey that's the goal. The journey is the sweetest part of life. It's not, you know, who said this? I don't even know, but life is what happens to you on your way to something. And life is what happens to you when you're on your way to the next big event. And it's on the voyage that we make our most wonderful discoveries in this life. And as a nation, moving to the new freedoms we're going to find when we fight these bad guys off, that's going to be the character builder that the country needs. You know, there's a lot of wonderful human beings in America that are willing to sacrifice to do these things. We need to start thinking about how we can do them. You know, just some musings from me to you. You know, the news cycle here, they're going to, of course, we're losing our liberty of and our right to habeas corpus and our right to have our accusers sit before us in a courtroom. And, you know, this Padilla case, it's a frightening thing. This is an American citizen who, they say, was making a dirty bomb. Now, but they won't let us see any of the evidence. Now, this guy Padilla has already been found to be, you know, limited in his mental capacity. Now, you know, people with small brains can be talked into doing a lot of things. Goodness knows what Mr. Padilla's coaches and who they were and what they coached him to say or do. But certainly, I think they needed a patsy, and they've made him that patsy, and that they've taken down our Constitution with him. Terrible day for liberty. So too is this Zundel thing and some of these other things where thought criminals are being created. Just because we ask a question, people say, what happened here or there, and all of a sudden that winds them up in court. I never thought I would see that day in my lifetime, but you know, strange things are on offing for all of us, I believe. So when we return, my friend and great commentator on the truth and a wonderful patriot, Karen Kwiatkowski. Daryl Bradford Smith, IamTheWitness.com is the website. We'll be right back after these messages. Gentlemen, we are back. We are back with a great guest for you all. Somebody who's visited me on this show several times. A commentary always extraordinary, and someone I am proud to say is going to be adding her voice to a radio broadcast. Already started last week. Wonderful thoughts come out of this woman, and a lot of experience, a lot of gravitas. Her name is Karen Kwiatkowski. She's a doctor. A philosophy in, I'm not sure what subject, we'll ask her in a minute, and also a retired lieutenant colonel in the military, and a friend. And I want to bring her on right now. Karen, are you with me?
Yes, I am.
What did you get your doctorate in? I forgot to even ask you that.
Oh, yeah, it's world politics. Political science, world politics.
So,
yep.
So how to deceive the masses is what you were studying.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I tried to understand what was going on, so I did that, and I still don't know.
Well, see, that's the whole secret to this thing, you know. It's throw so much stuff at people that they can't even figure out what's going on around them. And I got to ask you, you know, we're heading into the holiday period. It's coming up on Thanksgiving, and I got to be honest with you, I miss Thanksgiving more than any holiday. It's my favorite. And over here in France, it's certainly not a day off for anybody. It's a regular day.
Yeah.
Boy, you know, I see some very serious problems on the in the economy, just as we talked last time. In fact, the last interview we did, I think most of our first part of the conversation was about the economy. What are you feeling about it? I mean, you've been seeing this Adelphi stuff, GM, Ford's announcing, all of the different groups.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, we are not competing in the old ways that we used to compete, and we're not adapting to the new ways that we're going to need to compete as a country. So Americans, you know, we certainly are not able, we're not going to be able to afford our Social Security net. You know, you know, you guys in Europe have a, what do they call it? It's not a Social Security network, but the state.
Well, yeah, everybody gets Security Sociale in France.
And the state owes the citizens, and it takes care of the citizens. And of course, that's very expensive. And as society ages, as your demographics change, it becomes harder to afford that. Well, we're moving, you know, here in America, moving in the same direction, and we can't afford it. And one of the big reasons we're not going to be able to afford it is not because our demographics are shifting as radically as it is in some places, some parts of Europe, but because we're no longer producing anything that anybody wants to buy.
That's
and the
right.
things that we do produce tend to be services, which are things that people have to really want in order to purchase. They have to feel that your service, your specialty is much better than what they can get elsewhere. And in fact, we're not competing as well with that either. So yeah, we're going downhill economically. And
well, and we're also losing the quality of our education. And I mean,
oh, yeah.
Let me give you one example. I my sons, they're very bright guys. They work hard in college. They're honor students.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, when I talk to them about Richard III, have they ever read it? Hamlet, have they read it? Have they read Beckett? Have they read? No. Dickens, nothing. No, nothing. And I said to myself, wow, what have you read? Oh, well, we looked at some poetry, and they never did any classics. They never did any. They've lost this. It's kind of like we have made valueless the event of education. I don't know what you maybe from your own son's experience you can see the qualitative loss in education.
Yeah, well, it's been going downhill for a long time. I mean, the purpose of public education in this country, I don't know about other countries, but in this country, public education started to de-Catholicize a bunch of Irish and Polish and Italian immigrants that were coming at the turn of the century, 1800s, early 1900s. I mean, we needed the demand for public education was to turn these young Catholic children away from the Pope, of course, and towards a Protestant Americanism. So the idea was never to educate. The idea was to institutionalize and to indoctrinate. And there's a big difference. Indoctrination-wise, the public schools in this country are doing a great job.
Oh, boy, aren't they ever.
They don't need Richard III. They don't need to study Aristotle. They don't need to read history in order to indoctrinate effectively. What they have to do is keep harping on people about all kinds of crazy things that they harp on them about so that everyone will feel, oh, yeah, this is what it is to be a good citizen. You know, they tell them all the time to vote. They tell them, if you vote, you're a good citizen. Well, you know, the founding fathers, they didn't see voting as being a good citizen.
No.
This was not one of their values.
No.
You know, they totally different view of democracy. We elevate our public schools, just like George Bush constantly talks about. He elevates democracy to this kind of almost a religion. Don't question it. Democracy is good. It's all good. Well, you know, all the great thinkers had their doubts about pure democracy.
Well, let's talk about Kyklos cycles. Let's talk about what Aristotle and Socrates both said about it. Where does it lead to? What does pure democracy lead to?
Well, it leads to chaos and a demand for a strong leader who will emerge, inevitably who will emerge, and that strong leader will be a tyrant. That leader will rule with an iron fist. But
it automatically goes into tyranny, and then to throw off the chains of that tyranny, we end up asking for a Republican form of government once again.
Yes, but
the problem is
it's not that easy to get. It's very easy to get from democracy to tyranny. It's very difficult to get from tyranny to a republic. You have to, I mean, this is a revolution time, and it's hard to do revolutions. You know, we're not, you know, this administration is not into revolutions. If they wanted democracy in Iraq, okay, they would have encouraged the Iraqis to revolt. But we did encourage them, and then we let them all die. Remember the Shia? We let Shia die after 1991. We let them get massacred by Saddam Hussein. You know, we encouraged the Kurds up to a point. but not too far, right? So this administration is afraid of real revolution and real democracy and real republics. They're afraid of that. What they want is a handpicked tyrant. And we had one in Saddam Hussein for a long time, but then he went foul on us. So, you know, we've tried to get something else that we could manipulate over there.
Well, here's another interesting thing. You were talking about the Catholic Church a moment ago.
Mm-hmm.
I've come out strongly against people that have been saying that the Jesuits and the Vatican assassins are responsible for all the ills of the world. How foolish that is to anybody with a brain. And yet people are following this foolishness in numbers that you would surprise you, Karen. I
they're blaming Catholicism.
They're blaming the black. They call him the Black Pope. He's the head of the Jesuits. They
uh-huh.
say that he rules the world, and that King Juan Carlos was given the title of King of Jerusalem by the Pope, and that this is foolishness. Mm-hmm. Now let me tell you something. Hosts have put these people on. Books have been written about it. Now what I tried to explain to them is this is a way to divert attention from the real criminals. They want to pawn off this lie onto another religion and move attention away from the one that is predominant in this stuff that we've been going on, you know, under. Now, here's the thing. My statement to them was, how many Jesuits are in the Bush administration? And then
yeah.
I said, well, what we have coined as Zionists, or people who are working with dual citizenship, and how many of those can you find? Well, a lot of those. And then I said, well, how about in the banking structure in the world? Well, how many in one group? None. How many in the other? Well, a lot. And you go all the way down the line here, and finally I say, are you getting the picture? and then I finally said, I'll give $10,000 out maybe if you can put 100 Jesuits in the same room together, because I don't think there's still 100 of them alive on the planet.
Yeah, it's a good point. Good point. Absolutely.
Well, anyway, when we come back, ladies and gentlemen, we're gonna move into a couple of new subjects with Karen Kwiatkowski. She's just a resource, and we have to get the stuff out while we can. We'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back, and to music that I think we're going to be getting rid of this particular bumper real soon. That sounds good to me. We're with Karen Kwiatkowski today. I'm Daryl Bradford Smith, French Connection from France. Karen, I want to go up to you now about your new radio show, and I want to give you an opportunity in this long segment here to tell me some of the ideas you have for the show, who you'd like to put on that Saturday period, and what kind of ideas you have coming up.
Well,
I am putting you on the spot.
I just did the first one. The show is on Republic Broadcasting, I guess, mm-hmm. internet radio for the most part, and it's 2 hours on Saturday nights, and it's called American Forum. And so, you know, I mean, you know, I want to have guests because I can't really. I mean, I have been known to talk on the phone long after my husband has signed off. So I know I can talk with no response, but I didn't really want to do that on the radio. So I have some people. But the first session that we had last Saturday, we had a guy named John Sharp,
yep.
who edited this two book series, kind of an encyclopedia on the Iraq, what led to Iraq, and they're really looking at it from a just war perspective. There's a lot of important writings by people that know about the intel side of the house. There's a lot of writings by people that understand the morality or the lack of morality. And there's a lot of, I'm not Catholic myself, but there's a lot of Catholic priests and scholars who have written explaining how just war criteria in very clear language wasn't met here. And so what it is it's a foundational book that everybody really should have, this two-volume set. Because it's the history, and it's the court case, really, of the foundation of the prosecution, I guess you could say, for the president and the vice president, and the neocons and Rumsfeld and all these guys that rushed into war with no reason and no planning. So anyway, I had him on. It was great. He stayed with us for an hour and a half, and that was fun. And then I've got a guest I think that you've had on just recently. Hold on a second. It's Morgan Reynolds is going to be this Saturday. Yeah.
Well, he's really powerful.
I can't wait to talk to him. And, of course, I've been reading his stuff on Lou Rockwell for a long time.
Yeah.
And anyway, so Morgan's coming on. And then I believe the week after that, on the 2nd of December, right now I have tentatively William Arkin, who blogs now. He's got a new blog with the Washington Post. And William Arkin is he's a commentator, military analyst type guy. He's been working in that business for a long, long time. He'd been with the Post initially. Then he moved out to the L.A. Times and wrote military things for them and went up to Maine, and now he's doing this blog for the Washington Post. And his blog at the Washington Post is, of course, I had known him when I was in the Pentagon, kind of, not personally, but, you know, read his stuff. But his blog is really full of some great insights, and I think he captures what, in some ways you might say, what the majority of the people kind of suspected about a lot of the stuff that's going on in military policy. He really is good about raising the BS flag, you know, reading right through all the fluff, getting to the heart of the matter in terms of Pentagon decisions and some of the things the administration is doing. So anyway, I think he's going to be on the second. I have a kind of a commitment from him. And basically after that, I'm just playing it by ear. One person that I want to have is someone you've had, Sibel Edmonds.
Okay.
Contact, and I wanted to talk to her about just some of the things she's doing more recently, not so much about
Never been able to get much. She seems
she's
to
guarded.
Do a lot of
she's
spinning.
Guarded.
A lot of spinning, but no digging.
Yeah,
I get a lot of spin and no dig out of that girl.
Yeah, I doubt I'd be any more successful, but I think she has an interesting story to tell, and I'm pretty sure that she'd talk to me. So, you know, I'm just playing it by ear, and I'm really, my interest is like I write for Lou Rockwell and stuff, and my interest is looking at not all foreign policy, but really foreign military policy. I mean, the things that I was touched by when I was in the Pentagon, these are the things I'm still kind of interested in, so I'm kind of going to talk up to people like that. Now, you know, I sent an email over to a guy that runs a website for prison reform, and I think I'm going to have him on in January or February to talk about American prisons.
Yeah.
Because I think we should all know, because we may all end up there.
Well, you know, we're the most imprisoned society
right.
in history.
So, well, you know why I wanted to get this guy, and I don't even know him. I mean, I just know his website. I kind of was doing some searching, but you know, they got this movie coming out over here, and it'll be over there for you. It'll be over in France, big time, probably. I don't know, maybe not. Maybe they're not fans of Johnny Cash. Maybe they don't know about Johnny Cash. Well, anyway, they got this movie coming out about Johnny Cash, and one of the, you know, as they're publicizing the movie, of course, you remember that Johnny Cash used to give a lot of concerts in prisons. And, of course, he'd been in prison off and on himself. And, you know, when he gave those concerts to prisoners, it was like we looked at prisoners and these people in these federal prisons as basically people that were just like us that had maybe fallen off a wagon.
Yeah.
But then we'd bring them back into society. And, you know, we don't do that anymore.
Well,
we go to prison, they're like marked men for the rest of their life, and we never embrace them again. And of course, you know, there's racial issues, too. We're overwhelmingly, our prisons are filled with people of color, particularly black.
Yeah, that's right.
There's racism in this country. So, you know, it's
terrible.
Like one more reason not to embrace our brothers. So it's just
I also have to tell you something. I'm a libertarian, and I have to be honest with you, and so are you, I know that.
Yeah.
My values say that most of the things that people are in jail for, Karen, under my system wouldn't be illegal.
You got that right. That's another thing we've definitely got to talk about. Absolutely.
Yeah, well, we're going to come back after this break, ladies and gentlemen, and maybe we'll open up that Pandora's box. Stick with us. More from Karen Kleintowski. Gentlemen, the great Miles Davis bringing us into this last segment of the hour. Karen Kwiatkowski's with me. We're going to go right to Karen, and I'm going to give Karen an opportunity here to close out this hour with her own thoughts about about what she'd like to see come up in this next couple of months and how her holiday wishes for everybody can go and all this stuff. Karen, you want to talk to the listeners and give them your best pitch on coming to the Thanksgiving and Christmas holidays.
I agree with you. I love Thanksgiving. It's my favorite of all.
Well, do you know that I have 7 family members that we've traced that I'm descendant of 7 people from the Mayflower?
You're kidding me.
7, yeah.
Fantastic. Oh,
I grew up 15, 20 miles away from Plymouth, and my family goes back to the Mayflower, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. That's fantastic. Yeah, I don't have any of that. But I love Thanksgiving, and I wrote something for Lou Rockwell today. I don't know if it'll be up later this week or not, but it basically what we can be thankful for as libertarians, you know, as people that advocate maybe less of a strong central government, you know, less fascism, less socialism, that kind of thing, that we have some things to be grateful for. I mean, I think this year, this fall in particular, has brought a lot of things. And, you know, some things may not lead to where we want them to go. Like Fitzpatrick, for example. You know, he's indicted one guy, Scooter Libby, and that's great. And Scooter Libby clearly lied.
You mean Irwin Leibowitz.
Huh?
His name is Irwin Leibowitz.
Yeah.
Irwin Leibowitz.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah. But you know, one guy, and there's and a lot of people would say, well, you know, there's so many more, and this is not enough, and that kind of thing. But he's still working, and Conrad Black, he just got, and that's also Fitzpatrick has his name on that indictment as well, from some work he was doing back in Chicago. You know, Conrad Black, who has been big financier, employer of Richard Pearl. You know, all these guys are in the same little bunch of friends.
That's the Brockman media empire.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
And Black has been doing some things, I guess. Apparently they suspect him of some actual more financial crimes, actual things you can go to jail for, as opposed to, you know, so what if Libby gets pardoned for lying? Everybody's going to think, oh, well, you know.
I'd like to see investigating of Abramoff and why he was giving Ontoff free booze cruises on gambling boats.
You got it. You see, all this stuff. Because so many of these people, they move in the same circles, they share the same money, they raise the money the same way, they behave the same way. Because of this, Fitzpatrick is in for some, you know, adventures in law enforcement, basically. I mean, there's a lot of stuff here.
I'm concerned he's just gonna do some whitewashing. I don't know.
We'll have to see. You know, everyone says that that's certainly a possibility.
Mm.
But you know, one thing that he did with the governor, I did look into just one thing that he's known for back in Illinois.
Yep.
Is he took down the governor. Now the governor was at that time not a sitting governor. He had stepped down. He was the former governor of the state. But this guy, Fitzpatrick, took down the governor, and he took down the whole network, and he started at the very outer circle, kind of like the Libby circle.
So what you're saying is there is hope.
I think there's hope, and that would be my message, too, that I think there's hope, and, you know, happy holidays, happy Thanksgiving, certainly, to Americans and Canadians and everybody else around the world that celebrates Thanksgiving.
See you, Karen.
Okay.
Bye-bye now.
See you. Uh-huh.
We'll be back in the second hour with Reverend Ted Pike, ladies and gentlemen. Stick with us after this top of the hour news. Fake news.